You know, in our world today, they talk about if you were going to start up a company, what are some of the biggest earners in income? And most people would guess something to do with technology, computers, or the like. But if you think about it, there's this whole umbrella of entertainment industry that makes billions of dollars per year. You see, in our society, we kind of get bored easy, don't we? You know, I've noticed in restaurants, and I don't have my cell phone on me, but I don't feel like I'm missing something. But people will be in restaurants, and you know, they're doing this, and they're texting, and they're screening, they're searching, they're doing anything else, and you even see them talking to each other but not looking at them. It used to be that we had a slower pace in life, and yet now we live so fast, and when everything comes to a stop, it's like we can't stand it. I remember as a kid, maybe you remember, this is before television, you know. That sounds like caveman days, but, you know. We said, I'm bored. My parents would say, go play. There's nothing to do. And with all that's at the disposal today, people still complain about being bored. Games become old very quick, even on an iPhone. Board games are really passé, out of date, you know. Who plays Monopoly or checkers or chess anymore? Unless it's on the computer, you could play chess. But it's just not fast enough. We want to be entertained. And when you look at reviews of movies, the same thing is said. Fast pace, the thrill a minute, it was awesome, you know. And another review says, slower than a turtle, you know. Took forever to get to the point. We've gotten to the point where we don't even like to read really thick books because it takes too long to get through them. And some people say, read, I'll wait for the movie. Did you know our thinking today is not new? For in the days of Jesus, when he was on earth, in the days of Pilate and the 12 disciples, man was easily bored. They had to work in sunlight because new electrical technology had not even existed at that time. So if you had chores to do, you had to do it from sunrise to sunset. And even then, mankind found ways to be bored. It took a long time to do some task because you did them by hand. And it turns out the wealthier you were, the more you had people to do the work for you, servants, slaves, indentured servants, people paying off debt, the more bored you could be. And one of the chief bored individuals, his name was Herod Antipas. His father was called Herod the Great. He was the king at the time when Jesus was born. His father's claim to fame in the Bible was he had all male children, two and under, slaughtered in the city of Bethlehem because he had heard that the newborn king was here. Well, Herod, the son, Herod Antipas, wasn't much more of a man than that. He too was kind of weak and feeble, easily influenced, and easily frightened. And he too became bored. Before he became bored, one time he was actually kind of on edge. It was when John the Baptist had been preaching about Herod Antipas because Herod had stolen Philip's wife. Herod Antipas actually had a wife. He threw her out and he wanted Philip's woman, and so he took her. And John the Baptist preached on that. And it didn't make John too popular with Herod's illegally gotten wife. Her name was Herodias. And Herodias was a mean-hearted, you know, political player in the kingdom. And so she set it up that her daughter, it would be Herod Antipas' stepdaughter, came dancing for him. And he was so pleased, he said, "Ask for anything and I will give it." And if you remember, the daughter was coached. She wanted the head of John the Baptist. So John had been killed, executed, and the head was served on a platter. So during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, the word came out to Herod Antipas. He was thinking, this is John the Baptist back from the dead, back to haunt him, back to get him. But it didn't quite fit because the one that was called Jesus was doing miracles. A few fish and loaves fed thousands of people. People with leprosy were healed. The blind could see. The lame walked. Water into wine. I want to see that. Herod Antipas wanted to be entertained. And so Luke tells us in the text, he desired to see Jesus. But he did not desire to see the Jesus, the Savior. He desired to see a magic show. He desired to be made to laugh. He desired to see something that would tickle his fancy or astound him in an earthly mind kind of way. Because Herod Antipas was not a believer. He did not want to see Jesus so that he can confess his sins about John's death and then be forgiven. He didn't want Jesus for that part. He didn't want to confess to Jesus that he stole Philip's wife. You know, that would have been a proper confession, but no, he wasn't owning up to that. He wanted to see, in our day, we would say, magic. He wanted to see miracles, even greater than magic. But as you heard in the lesson, what happened? Pilate, knowing that Herod did not rule in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the area called Judea. But instead, Herod Antipas ruled way to the north in Galilee. And he really wasn't a king. He was called a tetrarch, which was a nice way of giving a person a title that had no power. He was more like a prince with nothing to do. And there he came down for the Passover. He wanted to be part of the community. He wanted to be part of the fanfare in Jerusalem. He wasn't part of, well, I want to worship God. That wasn't his kind of thing. But he wanted to be part of the show. And so it made sense that he wanted to see Jesus put on a show. And Pilate, knowing that Herod was in town and heard that Jesus was a Galilean, well, I can pass the buck. And so Pilate sent Jesus over there, and Herod is excited. This is great. And as you heard the Luke tell us, they shot at him one question after another. And the ones that didn't want to ask questions were the ones that were just making charges. People of the priesthood, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, were there in the court with Herod Antipas. And as Herod was wanting to see a miracle, these guys were wanting to see a death. And so what's the irony in that picture? How many times have people in the 20th century ever said, boy, if I could only see Jesus for myself. Give me a sign. Show me. I want a theophany. I want the burning bush. You know, I want the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke. And I need something to encourage my faith because my faith is backsliding. My faith is going down, Lord. You know, I need help. more than just proof, I need help. And we want to see Jesus. But Herod wasn't looking for encouragement of the faith from the one in whom we all believe. Herod wasn't looking for the Son of God, a savior from his sin, a savior of the world. Herod was just wanting to be amazed. And yet, with the very Son of God standing in front of him, he wasn't amazed. He wasn't in awe. That God in the flesh would be there in his lifetime, according to the very promise of God, it meant nothing to Herod. For God in the flesh, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, to be standing right in front of him, it meant nothing to Herod. For God to be on the way of the cross, because he would be crucified shortly, it meant nothing to Herod. The very things we treasure, the very things we confess, the very things we believe in and what the cross means, it means everything to us. And that's the irony. In front of Herod, he meant nothing. So where do we fit in the picture? It's the times we act like Herod. It may be brief. It may be days or weeks or months. It's where we live and act like Jesus is nothing. It's where we neglect the Word of God as if it's nothing. It's where we don't recall our baptism, being united with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. Our baptism, oh yeah, I guess I was. It meant nothing. And when we come to the Lord's table at times, you know, and we eat that cardboard tasting wafer, you know, and we taste that wine that's not our favorite, there are times in our distracted, in our lack of being entertained and wowed by God, I have no doubt there are times that when we come to the Lord's table, it doesn't mean that much. I came up because everybody else came up. I remember doing that after I was confirmed. Coming up because I wasn't going to sit in the pew alone. But what was I thinking about? Lunch. What was I thinking about? What could I get away with in the afternoon? What was I thinking about? In Wichita, Kansas, it was the Sunday afternoon movie at 1 o'clock. You know, and who would get to choose the channel today? How easy it is for any one of us to be foolish at any time. Whereas if we were said, do you want to see Jesus? We would want to be amazed. But it is by faith that we are amazed, that we see the power of God, that we understand and know the forgiveness of sins, that we hold on by faith to the promise of the resurrection, the promise of an eternal life and kingdom, a promise of unbelievable joys. We're amazed by the foretaste of this heavenly dinner called the Lord's Supper, knowing that there'll be a feast in heaven beyond measure. We're amazed at the forgiveness of our sins when we certainly don't deserve it. I certainly don't deserve it. We stand in awe of a God who loves messes like Pastor Wink. And then maybe you want to fill in your own name. Are we not amazed as Jesus stands before Herod on trial as he has made sin with our sin? As he goes to the cross for our death, as he pays the price for our wrong. You and I read Lent totally different than Herod. Herod wanted to see water into wine or more fish made out of a few or something like that. He wanted to see magic. And you and I come to Lent and we want to see our Savior because we know that he is our only hope. Imagine if there was a cure-all pill, a prescription drug that would take care of everything. Colds, flu, everything. Allergies, asthma, forgetfulness, body's aches and pains, kidney disease and cancer, even foolishness in our thinking. Imagine there was one pill, how precious that would be, right? Well, Christ is greater than that one pill, for he takes away death that we may live. You see, we want to see Jesus, don't we? We want to get to that Easter morning, to the resurrection. We want to see Jesus alive. And we want to see Jesus rule. We want to see his reign. And in that gaze of seeing Jesus, you know what's looking back at us? Love. The love of God in Christ. We want to see Jesus, who loves us so much, he was willing to die. That's a pretty good Jesus, isn't it? And Herod missed it, seeing but not believing, beholding but not comprehending, even conversation-wise, and yet not learning. May we not make that mistake, the irony of the passions. Amen.